All right. So as Hari said, my name is Frank Ueda. I'm from UC San Diego, and this is joint work with Luca Foschini, Subhash Suri from UC Santa Barbara, Fred Baker from Cisco, my advisor George Varghese at UC San Diego. Great, so let's jump in then. To start off with, let's talk about the state of the world as it stands right now. Really, there's this industry-wide trend towards big data centers. Now, what does this mean? This means we have thousands of hosts that are running numerous of distributed applications, and they're all communicating over very high-speed networks. It shouldn't be very hard to figure out that these data center systems are very large and very complex. So the million-dollar question then becomes, when you have such a big system, how do you go about debugging and tuning your network performance? I mean, and really, it is a million-dollar question. The financial industry says that if they could tune their networks, get an extra millisecond latency advantage over their competition, they could make an extra $100 million per year. And it's really not just the financial industry that's worried about these kinds of problems. Web applications, they care about latency. Large-scale data processing, they care about throughput. All these things hinge on having good network performance. So let's make it a little bit more concrete. Let's say that you're a data center administrator, and one of your customers calls you and they say, look, around 11 a.m. this morning, we suffered really high packet loss. What happened? And so maybe you go back and you look at your logs, and your logs show that my network was only 5% utilized. What happened? Why all this packet loss? So then how do you go about trying to isolate and then fix whatever the problem was? Well, it's very likely in this scenario that your problems were caused by very bursty traffic or big spikes in traffic. And what I mean by spikes in traffic is short periods of time with very high bandwidth. Now, when this happens, it's very likely that the buffers on your switch are going to start filling up, and at some point, they're going to overflow. Your packets are going to get dropped, and this is going to be detrimental to your network performance. So really, what the big question is how do we go about finding these very short-lived bursts in this huge stream of traffic that's traversing our data center? So let me go back a little bit and try to define what we mean by bursts. So I have in this slide time across the bottom and a bunch of packet events happening. What I'd like to do is break up this traffic trace into fixed length intervals, say like this. And then for each interval, I'm going to sum up the number of bytes that I saw during that interval. And then I'm going to say that a burst is an interval where I had a really high sum. And now maybe I want it to be a little bit more rich than that. Maybe a high max in one particular interval doesn't necessarily indicate a burst. But maybe bursty traffic in general is maybe indicated by having a very high variance across many different intervals. Or maybe one way to measure this is by tracking a standard deviation or by tracking a 95th percentile. So in this case here, we can see that in the first interval, we have four packets occurring with some number of bytes, then two packets in the next interval and three in the next. And we'd like to compute things like the maximum number of bytes in an interval, the standard deviation, and so on and so forth. But really, in order to find a short-lived burst, we really need to be able to measure at very fine timescales. And this actually provides a really interesting question. You know, how fine should those timescales really be? Now, maybe instead of the purple intervals, maybe you really want the blue intervals to find out where your bursty behavior is happening at. And maybe these two time intervals aren't enough. Maybe you want arbitrarily many time intervals. You really have no idea what the resolution of interest is going to be beforehand. Oh, sorry. And so in order to do this, you would need to in order to collect statistics on this slide, what you would need to do is have some sort of a traffic trace that you could evaluate after the fact to go back and actually calculate the statistics at all your arbitrary different timescales so you could figure out what was going on. So existing tools are out there to do this. You can use things like TCP dump at your end host to collect traffic traces. And then you can go back and retrospectively look at it to figure out what was my standard deviation across various intervals or what was my 95th percentile. But this is a huge amount of data. Likewise, there's in-network solutions like NetFlow that capture per-flow statistics. But again, this is a tremendous amount of data when you're talking about a data center. So people have suggested doing things like sampling NetFlow. Maybe we'll take only every 100th or every 1,000th sample out of NetFlow. And this makes much more sense in terms of storage. But now we have the potential for false positives. Remember, our bursts are very short, so by doing the sampling, we can create all sorts of issues. And then finally, a lot of network devices and even end hosts support SNMP counters, which will tell you things like the number of packets that you dropped or the amount of bytes that went down a certain flow. But really, for detecting the burst, this information is insufficient. And the time resolutions that you can query SNMP counters at is grossly inadequate. So really, what we'd like to have, ideally, is some sort of tool that would allow us to detect short-lived bursts, but would also have very low overhead. So hopefully, I've given you a little bit of motivation about where we're going in this talk. And now I'm going to talk about two solutions that we've come up with. One is called exponential bucketing, and the other one is called dynamic bucket merge. After I describe these algorithms, I'm going to go through and present some evaluation and then conclude at the end. So the main contribution of this work, then, are summarization techniques. And these summarization techniques are going to be able to generate bandwidth reports for you at arbitrary timescales. And we're going to be able to do this after the fact without keeping a packet trace. Now, the timescales of interest can be down to microseconds. We're going to use orders of magnitude less storage than keeping a packet trace. And we're also going to be able to give you complex statistics, as well as being able to give you a visualization of bandwidth over time. Now, statistics that you might care about might be, you know, for a given interval, what was the max? Or, you know, for a different timescale, what was the maximum byte seen in a single interval? Or what was the standard deviation across all intervals? So remember, we want to do this for maybe these two timescales without the trace, but we also want to be able to do it for arbitrarily many different timescales, so we may not know ahead of time. So let's talk a little bit then about how we would actually deploy this system. We're going to maintain some data structures, and we're going to keep these data structures at our end hosts. Then at runtime, we're going to configure these data structures with a base time scale. Now this time scale is completely arbitrary. Really, it can be as fine as your timestamps on your machine are. But this is going to be the smallest time scale that we're going to want to sum up samples over. So for a given interval, how many bytes have gone by. So after we do the summarization, based on these base time scales, we're going to do the summarization, and then after the fact, we're going to look at our summary structure, and we're going to issue a query time scale. So we're going to say, I want to know, for example, what was the standard deviation of the traffic on this trace if I would have sampled at, say, 10 millisecond intervals. And I want to go back after the fact and be able to answer this kind of a query, where 10 milliseconds may be 10 microseconds, or whatever arbitrary interval you would like. So let me talk about the first of our proposed algorithms. This one's called exponential bucketing. What exponential bucketing is going to provide you is the max and the standard deviation of bytes seen per interval for any time scale. Now, let me give you a little bit of intuition about how we're going to go about doing this. So what we'd like to be able to do is keep statistics for times, and we're going to keep them in time scales growing by powers of 2. So for example, if my base time scale is, say, 1 millisecond, I would try to keep statistics for intervals of 1 millisecond, 2 milliseconds, 4, 8, 16, 32, etc. And then when I query for statistics, I'm going to approximate the statistics for intervals that I haven't kept by looking for whatever time scale is closest, whatever time scale that I've kept that's closest to the interval that I'm interested in. So in this example, if I wanted to know statistics for a 5 millisecond resampling, I would say, well, 4 milliseconds, I know what that is. That's the closest to 5. I'm just going to report the statistics that I figured out at 4. Now, clearly, you could do much better than just figure out which one's closest. And so we've actually have a few suggestions in the paper. And we also have shown in our analysis that by doing this, you can actually get a constant factor approximation for max. So now let's dive in and actually see how do you actually go about doing this exponential bucketing algorithm. So here's an example. What I have here is I'm maintaining some data structures. I've called them buckets. They're over here on the left. Now for each bucket, I'm going to maintain statistics that grow in powers of 2. So across the bottom, I have my time. I've just left it unitless, unit times. For the sake of example, let's say they're milliseconds. So in each of these millisecond intervals, I'm going to be seeing a bunch of bytes come down the wire. And I've listed those bytes up here at the top. So in the first time slot, the first time interval, the first millisecond, I see 10 bytes come down the wire. The second time slot, I see 20 bytes come down the wire, 35, 5, etc. So now for the sake of example, let's look at if we were going to just keep statistics for the base time sampling interval, so 1 millisecond bins, what would we do? Well, we'd keep some sort of a sum that would count, as packets go by, we'd sum up the number of bytes that we saw, And at the end of that millisecond, we'd store it. We'd say, look, we have one sample. And the maximum number of bytes we've seen in any given interval is 10. We've only seen one interval. That interval is 10. Now, we could also extend this to the dot, dot, dots or for other statistics like standard deviation. But for the time being, let's just look at max to make things simple. So after I've summed up for one time slot, I'm going to clear my sum, and I'm going to start accumulating for the next time slot. So in the second millisecond, I see 20 bytes go down the wire. I count up in my sum to 20. So now I have two samples. I now have a sample with 20. That's bigger than 10, so I update my max. I repeat the process for 35 and for 5, and we see at the end that I have four samples, and the maximum in any one given sample is 35. So this is pretty straightforward. So now, what would we do if we were going to do it every 2 milliseconds, and we're going to bin by 2 milliseconds instead of every millisecond, if we were just doing 2 milliseconds? Well, what we would do is we keep the same counter, and we'd sum up the bytes we saw going down the wire. In this case, after 2 milliseconds have passed, our sum is 30. We see 30 bytes. 10 plus 20 is 30. So we're going to record that sample. We're going to clear the sum. We're going to repeat it again. We're going to sum up 35 and 5. That's 40. So after two samples at this resolution, we see that our max bandwidth is 40 bytes in any 2 milliseconds. The same thing works at 4. We do the same thing. We see the 70 bytes go down the wire. We only have one interval. The max is 70. So this is what you would do if you're only keeping one time scale at a time. But in reality, we're doing all these in parallel. So in any one given time scale, you actually need to update the sums for all of these different resolutions. And so this is actually inefficient, right? Because you don't want to have to increment this many counters for every time slot. And we've shown in the paper actually a much more efficient way to do this, where your update time is actually amortized constant time. So this is actually much better. So then, summarizing the exponential bucketing algorithm, what this provides you is statistics for the max and the standard deviation for bytes in any given interval across any time scale. And I haven't covered it here, but in the paper you can see there's a nifty little trick you can play to do amortized constant time per base sampling interval as far as your computational costs. Now, while exponential bucketing provides us max and standard deviation, we might actually want something more than that, right? Exponential bucketing doesn't actually maintain any information in the time domain. And this might be important if we want something like to compute the median of our bandwidth or some sort of percentile. I want to know what is the 95th percentile of all the intervals in a certain time scale. In order to compute that percentile, I'm going to need to keep a record of all those intervals and what their bandwidths were, and so I can scan across it to figure out what is that threshold at which 95% of them fall underneath that level. In addition, maybe we want to do some sort of visualization. What we'd really like to be able to do is plot for a given bandwidth curve. We'd like to have some notion of what are the regions of low bandwidth and high bandwidth so that we can pick it out easily visually. So maybe we want something like this, where our algorithm has kind of summarized, these are areas of low bandwidth, these are areas of high bandwidth. We can very easily pick that out in a very compressed summarization. So our next algorithm that we're going to talk about is dynamic bucket merge. And it's going to meet the requirements where exponential bucketing has fallen short. In particular, dynamic bucket merge is going to attempt to keep a time series summarization. And by keeping this time series summarization, we're then going to be able to post-process those statistics or those data structures to get statistics like medians, percentiles, and bandwidth visualizations. To give you a basic intuition about how this is going to work, we're going to allocate a fixed amount of memory, and then we're going to try to approximate our time series in that fixed amount of memory. And then when we get queries, we're going to try to resample that approximate time series to answer those queries for different query intervals. So let's do an example then to actually explain how this is actually going to play out. So in this example, I'm going to allocate 4 buckets, where each bucket is going to denote a span of time. Now, whenever I get a sample in, I'm going to place it in a bucket, and so that bucket is then going to have a summary of the number of bytes that arrived during that time span. So for the first, I'm going to have 10 bytes that arrived in one sampling interval. I put it in one bucket, so the bucket spans one base time interval, say a millisecond, and the number of bytes that I've seen is 10. So as I continue getting more and more samples, I can put them in more and more buckets. So if the next one is 20. I can put it in the second bucket, 35 and 5, just like the previous example. So in this case, I have these five buckets. They're each indicating four different spans of time. And since I only have one sample per bucket, I have perfect fidelity of what happened in those four intervals. Great. So what happens when the fifth sample comes? So say we get 40 as our next sample. But we've already exhausted our budget. We said we can only have four buckets. Well, now we have this fifth one. Well, the intuition is since we're looking for bursts, we really want to keep the buckets that summarize data for very high bandwidth intervals. And so what we'd like to do is choose some adjacent buckets in the past that had low bandwidth and then maybe merge the statistics in those together. So what we'll do is we'll have one bucket that spans a longer period of time but still has a low byte count. And so maybe what we'll do is then for every pair of adjacent buckets, we'll keep a cost. And the cost will say, if we combine these buckets, what would the combined sum of the buckets be? And then we'll look at for adjacent buckets that have very low cost, and we'll say, well, those look like low bandwidth areas, and we'll merge those buckets together. So in this case, our lowest cost is 30. If we merge the first two buckets together, we would attain one bucket that spans two time intervals, and it has 30 bytes coming down. So we'll take those two out, and we'll combine their data into one single bucket that now spans two time intervals and has seen 30 bytes in two time intervals. We then update the costs to reflect any future merging that may happen. And now we're back on track with our memory budget, right? We're now back to four buckets, where one of those buckets has now merged samples together. So we've lost a little bit of fidelity there. Now, I've given this example just based on merging by the amount of bytes stored in a particular bucket. Now, you could think there might be other ways to go about merging things. There may be more policies or better policies. And in fact, there are. So we actually have several different merging strategies that we've come up with. The first one that I've already talked about is merging by mass, or the number of bytes per bucket. And you want to minimize the number of bytes stored in any one given bucket. Maybe you want to do something a little more in-depth, though. Maybe when you want to merge buckets, you want to merge buckets that have very low standard deviation or very low variance between all the samples that are in those buckets. So you have one single bucket with very, very tight bounds on it. Or maybe you want to merge by range, where when you combine those two buckets, the difference between the highest sample and the lowest sample is minimized. Now, for each of these different policies, this is going to provide a different partitioning of our time series. And in our paper, we've reasoned about the accuracy of these different partitionings. So let me go on then and talk and summarize what we've talked about with the dynamic bucket merge. Essentially, this algorithm is going to adaptively construct an approximate bandwidth time series. And then, like exponential bucketing, it's going to be able to answer queries like what was the max or standard deviation arbitrary time scales. But in addition, it's also going to provide us with the ability to calculate percentiles and also do bandwidth visualization. Also, there's multiple different strategies that we could use in merging buckets in dynamic bucket merge, and those are going to give us different properties as far as accuracy goes. And finally, dynamic bucket merge is tunable. If I give it more buckets, then intuitively I need to do less merging. And less merging means less error, therefore better accuracy. So hopefully now that we've talked about the algorithms, you have a basic understanding of what we're doing. Let's go on then and talk about our evaluation. Really, there's two dimensions we'd like to evaluate on. One is how much accuracy do these things actually give you versus how much storage do you save? And the other one is, if you're doing this kind of monitoring, what kind of a hit are your applications going to take? How much do your end hosts actually slow down? So let's start off by talking about your accuracy versus your storage. The way we went about evaluating this, we got a trace from the Triton sort folks, the talk you heard about earlier today. They were sorting about 5 gigabytes of data in a test run. So we recorded those send calls. On average, they were sending about 5 gigabits of traffic per second. So using that trace, we then replayed that trace through our various algorithms. And the way we parameterized our algorithms, we said, you know, the finest time granularity we're going to care about is about 100 microseconds. So we're going to sample it at that base time scale, and we're going to build up our summarization data structures. Then after the fact, we're going to go back and we're going to evaluate at 52 various query time scales, ranging from 100 microseconds up to 2 seconds. And so then we're going to look at, compared to the ground truth, we can calculate from the trace, how do we do? And then to compare our storage overhead, let's just take a very simplistic trace. One where we keep 6 bytes per packet, just a timestamp and a byte count. So these are our basic results. Let's first look at the output rate. For our output rate, we see that a packet trace, even the most simplistic packet trace, keeping 6 bytes per sample, is going to have on the order of a half a megabyte per second of storage cost. And in high load times, this peak can go up to 3/4 of a megabyte. In contrast to that, dynamic bucket merge, even when only using 1,000 buckets, is going to have 4 kilobytes per second of storage. This is 2 orders of magnitude better than even the most simplistic packet trace. Furthermore, if we use exponential bucketing, we're only using 100 bytes per second of storage. This is fantastic. We're several orders of magnitude better than a full packet trace. Now, the logical, next question then is, well, you're keeping all this data, you're avoiding all this data. How does that affect your accuracy? So let me tell you how we went about doing accuracy. For our 52 different query data points that we queried for statistics for, we said which query point gave us the worst performance, the worst case performance. And so we're going to report the relative error for the worst case. Further, we're going to divide up those 52 different test query timescales into those timescales that were less than 2 milliseconds and those timescales that were greater than 2 milliseconds. And then finally, for those different timescales, we're going to query for statistics. We're going to ask for what was the max at that timescale, what was the standard deviation of the bandwidth at that timescale, what was the 95th percentiles of those timescales. So we can see from our table that doing dynamic bucket merge, when we're merging by range, has the best performance for the dynamic bucket merge algorithms, especially for reference intervals greater than 2 milliseconds. And for exponential bucketing, we have very good performance for intervals that are less than 2 milliseconds. Also, you should really note that we can't compute 95th percentiles with exponential bucketing. Since we don't have the time series information, those are statistics we just can't compute. Only dynamic bucket merge will give us those statistics. So a logical follow-on to this then is, why don't we combine the two? If we ran both dynamic bucket merge and exponential bucketing at the same time, we could get very low error rates across all our different intervals, as well as also getting our 95th percentile metrics and also getting our bandwidth visualizations. So let me go on then to talk about, what do I mean by bandwidth visualization? Let's say I had a very simplistic trace. This is a low bandwidth sample trace that I came up with. And what we've done here is we've used 9 buckets with dynamic bucket merge, and we've asked dynamic bucket merge to summarize this trace. So you can see that some buckets are very tall and thin. These denote high bandwidth events over very short periods of time. And other buckets are very low and long. So this is a very long interval of time with very low bandwidth. What we did was we added some artificial spikes to this trace. In particular, we added 3 spikes of 4 megabytes each over a couple of milliseconds. When we re-ran it through dynamic bucket merge, we see that those 4 spikes are very clearly picked out. So dynamic bucket merge does a very good job of allocating its resources towards high bandwidth events that happen over short time scales. Finally, what we want to know is given all these measurement things that give us good results, how much does it slow down our applications? So we implemented dynamic bucket merge and exponential bucketing in the Linux kernel, and we ran some quick little micro benchmarks. In particular, we ran iPerf, and we said, how much cost does it take in per packet processing to keep these statistics? And we see that all these statistics are on the order of hundreds of nanoseconds. Given that, the time scales you're processing packets on is on the order of, 1.2 microseconds, taking a couple hundred nanoseconds to actually update statistics is perfectly reasonable. So then, in summary, doing summarization using these techniques incurs modest errors, with DBM using merge by range and exponential bucketing providing the best approximations. And used in tandem, we can get even better accuracy, support complex statistics and visualizations with minimal storage and minimal processing. So then let's recap where we've been so far today. We started off by saying it's really important for us to be able to detect small bursts. But detecting small bursts is going to require really high resolution. But we didn't necessarily know what time scales we need beforehand. And really, keeping statistics for all timescales is very impractical. It's just too much data. So we propose new summarization techniques, dynamic bucket merge and exponential bucketing. These provide bandwidth statistics that help administrators identify bandwidth bursts, both in detecting the bursts and also visualizing the bursts. These algorithms are very efficient, so much so that you can use them for persistent monitoring. so that an administrator could log them and then retrospectively go back and do investigation and analysis of the traces. Going further, some places we'd like to go with our work. One is culprit identification. In this example, whenever you see a big spike in a bandwidth trace, you'd like to be able to go back and say which application or which flow caused that spike. So we have some ideas for how to do that. Maybe some better compression or collapsing our logs further to have better archival storage. And then finally, how do we go about correlating these single link statistics across our entire network in order to isolate the particular links where bursty traffic is occurring? Great, thank you very much for your time, and I'd be happy to take your questions.
So I'm going to offer a cup of coffee to the best question after every talk in this session. So please.
Somebody wants coffee.
Wyatt Lloyd, Princeton. I was wondering if you thought about collecting statistics in an event-driven manner instead of time-driven, like every 1,000 packets instead of every 100 microseconds.
Right. So we've thought about doing something like that. The problem is just like with sampled net flow, how do you know how many to avoid? Is it every 1,000? Is that enough? Is it every 100? Is it every 10,000? The nice thing about these algorithms, especially with dynamic bucket merge, is that it's adaptive. For a fixed amount of memory, it gives you the best approximation that it can. Whereas if we did a fixed sampling, then we're never really sure beforehand what the right sampling interval is.
This is an interesting idea, and I'm wondering whether there are some basic principles you can use for other management tasks. And I think people in your group have designed different approaches for measuring different stuff. And is there any kind of general principles that can serve as a basis so people can provide some kind of basic library so that different kind of management tasks can share?
Yeah. Sure. So you bring up a really interesting point, actually. Mm-hmm. And that is that really this work is not fundamental to bandwidth. Really, any sort of time series of data you can use these summarization techniques to summarize them and provide statistics over them, whether that be bandwidth or power usage or name your favorite metric. As far as other metrics, other folks at UCSD have been working with latency, and Ramana at Purdue has been working with it as well. And really, it seems to be a complementary approach, both measuring latency. Like velocity difference aggregator work, and then this work measuring bandwidth. They seem to be very complementary. As far as providing some sort of a package going forward, I mean, we would love to release something like that, but we're not currently on track to do that right now, but that'd be fantastic for the future.
Chen Huang from Microsoft Research. So I was wondering if you have any thoughts on what kind of statistics you are not able to capture with this technique?
Do you have a particular statistic in mind that you'd like to capture?
No, I kind of see examples of sum and maximum, right? Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if you have thought about that. Like, are you missing anything without keeping the packet level traces?
Right. So I think with exponential bucketing, clearly there's some statistics you just can't keep, anything that has this time series property to it. The nice thing about dynamic bucket merge is since it's approximating the time series, you can go back and try to resample that approximation to get a lot of different statistics, like percentiles or like medians. So offhand, I can't really think of statistics that you can't do. Maybe the better question is how much error is going to be induced if you do something more complicated?
Okay, thanks.
Great, thank you.